Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master. My name is Chip Horton, and with us today in the studio is our regular Monday morning host of Mornings for the Master, Richard Rutledge. We're certainly thankful to have you with us today, and we know that there's many of you out there that listen on a regular basis, and we certainly salute you, which is certainly right along lines with Romans 16, which we have before us today. There's a lot of saluting going on in our study today, and so we'll look forward to that study of Romans 16 in a minute. But I always like to admonish those that are with us today. We thank I always thank my wife for being there first and foremost with me and behind me and for me. So I'm glad you're with us today. Also, we know that Miss Frieda listens on a regular basis right out here on Highway 67, and we're thankful for Miss Ann down in Winsboro. And we've got that chat window up today if you want to jump in there and say howdy to us today, especially Miss Ann. I know she normally does that. Mom and Dad normally listen over in Nashville, Tennessee. I know my buddy up on the East Coast, Jeff, listens on a pretty regular basis as he delivers groceries up and down Highway 81. But there's a lot of you that regularly listen, and we are indeed thankful for that. Time is a valuable commodity. We're aware of that. And so when you spend it on the Gospel Radio Network, we are certainly thankful for your investment. And if you would, tell somebody about TGRN today. Pass the word along, because just like we would tell somebody about that good pizza that we tasted last night, we certainly would want to tell somebody about the Gospel Radio Network today. And so tell someone about us, and let us know how we can help you as you spread the word of Jesus around the world. We have several announcements before us today that we normally start our program with. Lots going on in the summer times. There's lots of meetings, and there's a mini lectureship up the road at New Boston this weekend on Sunday. There's a camp is coming to an end. It's just so much going on. We hope that we don't leave anybody out, but we certainly would remind everybody about the Summer Youth Series that's continuing to go on. We look forward to this next Monday over in Maud, as July the 11th affords us the opportunity to listen to Andy, I would suppose. Don't you imagine he'd be doing the speaking there?
Possibly.
We hope that we look forward to that. But we'll hear a sound gospel message, I'm sure, on the subject of worship in Maud on July the 11th. And then from there on, we go out of town for a little bit. We're going to go up to Broken Bow on the 18th and study repentance. And then on the 25th, we're going to go southward. We're going to go down to Bossier City to the Carriage Oaks congregation and talk about the subject of pastor and elder, those words that have been misused for so very long by some of our worldly friends. So just a glimpse of what's coming into the future as far as the Summer Youth Series. We're thankful for that regularly on Monday nights through August the 22nd, and we'll be ending the series here on August the 22nd in Mount Vernon. So a lot to look forward to with the Summer Youth Series.
We got a summer series that's going on. It's the Northeast Texas Family Summer Series. North Texas, I don't know. Did I say Northeast? Sometimes I get in a,
that's us.
That's us, but this is not us. North Texas Family Summer Series starts July the 7th, so tomorrow evening. And the whole theme of it is why I love being a Christian.
Mm.
So tomorrow it's going to be at the Briar Church of Christ with Robert Moss, dealing with I Love the Cross of Christ. Then it's going to continue through August the 18th. Next week they'll be at I Love Richard Massey will have I Love Morality. I Love Living Morally at the Las Vegas Trail Church of Christ is where he'll be speaking. And then on the 21st, it's going to be at the Godly Church of Christ. I Love Having Peace and Security, Darren Schroeder. We'll give you those other topics and titles as the dates approach. But it's going to begin each evening at 7 p.m. with a meal following. And all are welcome to come. If you need information, you can give them a call at 940-329-0882.
All right. And then coming up, rapidly approaching, is the great gospel singing that's been planned at the Oak Grove congregation over in Mount Pleasant, Texas. That's July the 15th from 7 to 9. And Brother Dave has got these flyers all over the country, and he has invited us to come out. And men, please feel free to volunteer to sing or lead singing that evening. And they've encouraged you to pick out a couple, two or three songs to lead that evening. And he says refreshments are going to follow at his house. And so he and Janice have invited you to their house afterwards. But notice that maps to their home will be provided at the singing. You've got to come to the singing to get a map.
There you go.
All right. So you can't just come to the fellowship afterwards. But that's July the 15th from 7 to 9 at the Oak Grove Church of Christ.
Maybe we should have done these in a different order because we have a singing school.
All right.
Go to the singing school and then,
right, and then go.
Then go to the singing. But July the 31st through August the 5th, Camp Arklatex is hosting a singing school week. And Andy Baker is going to be one of the instructors, teachers over there. Register online at camparklatex.org for sessions. Ages 10 and up. I had a sister this week say, well, she wanted to go to the singing, and she's definitely above the age of 10.
Yeah.
It doesn't say
right.
An end to it, but 10 and up. If you want more information, give Doyle Bruce a call at 817-798-6557 for that singing school at Arklatex.
All right, and also the Gospel Radio Network has received a great announcement here for the Blanchard Church of Christ over in Shreveport, Louisiana, and they have announced to us that Bart Warren is coming to town to preach the gospel, prepared to make a defense. And so we're all about apologetics during this particular process. Friday, beginning July 15th, Friday at 7, who needs apologetics? Well, we all do. We certainly should be grounded in that. Saturday at 6 and Saturday at 7, respectively, the existence of God and the reality of suffering. And then he'll be there through the Sunday opportunities, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. There's a fellowship meal at 12. And then as they come back for the evening worship at 1, he's going to round out this particular series with the fact and significance of the resurrection. And so they have invited you down to the Blanchard congregation July 15th through the 17th to hear Bart Warren, as he talks about being prepared to make a defense.
Well, July the 10th. So actually that's going to be this Sunday.
Right.
So go ahead and back your calendar up just a little bit. Got this one out of order. July the 10th, there's going to be a mini lectureship at the New Boston Church of Christ. The theme is God's Home, and have several speakers. Going to kick off at 9:30 that morning, A Place for Children with Trevin Buchanan. 10:25, A Gift from God with John Warnes. At 1, Husbands and Wives with J.J. Hendricks. At 2, An Eternal Purpose, Andy Baker. Then at 6 that evening, Give Us Christian Homes with Kevin Colley. You can find more information about this mini lectureship by going to newbostoncoc.org or giving them a call at 903-628-2891.
Also, as you look forward into the month of August, I guess we're stretching it a little bit here, Richard, but also, I know that David Profater, who is certainly an active speaker for the Gospel of Christ, he has sent us an announcement about the annual Restoration Revisited series, which is going to include such great speakers as David Sain and Robert Taylor and Mike Hickson. And they want us to be reminded that August 7th is when that begins, and it's going to be at the Meads Chapel Church of Christ. And we'll bring you more about that as the days grow closer. But be looking forward to that. That is a great series that happens every year. The Meads Chapel is kind of a small congregation, but, boy, they fill the pews, as it were, as these men come to town to preach the gospel about the Restoration Revisited series. This is the 11th annual one. And so if you're in the Nashville, Tennessee area, They have invited you to come out to Meade's Chapel that week for this series, August 7th through August the 10th.
I think that's all we have.
That's the end of it, isn't it?
Bulletin board.
All right. Well, we have an opportunity before us this morning. I was privileged to be able to open the Book of Romans, and it is going to be my privilege then to sit with you as we close the Book of Romans today. And so we look forward to this opportunity as there are so many salutations, there are so many greetings, and you know what a wonderful thing it is to see all of the friends, the sisters, the brothers, even the mothers in the faith that are mentioned here. You know, Paul was a treasure to the kingdom, and certainly did a good work. And you know, as you look back and you see greetings and salutations like this, he was beloved of a lot of people. And so as we have this opportunity to look into chapter 16 and close out the Book of Romans today, let's begin together as we read, let's read the first five verses, at least down to the admonishment about the church and their home.
I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Syrinthia, that you may receive her in the Lord in a worthy manner of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house.
All right. So as we stop there, we have a wealth of information already. I guess I had to be reminded of this, Richard, because it's not something that I, you know, study on a regular basis. But I was reminded by some others that as you jump into this first verse or two, there are some in the religious world today that insist that here is a proof text for women deacons. I, you know, can't say that I see where they get that other than the word diakonos is used here. But we understand that this word diakonos, this servant, is used in a lot of different places. You look over in Romans 13, you know, and it's talked about civil leaders being these diakonos, these servants. Paul calls Christ Romans 15 and verse 8 that we were just in yesterday, a diakonos, a servant. Paul referred to himself on several occasions in 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 6. But does that mean that Paul was a deacon? Does that mean that Christ was a deacon? Are the civil leaders in front of us, are they deacons? Well, no. We have to understand the context. And so when we jump out of the context, what do? We do damage to the scripture. And so notice of this wonderful lady here, the things that are said in the first two verses. She was a sister. Wow. She was a servant. She was a saint. And in the King James here, it says she was a succorer. And as again, as you look at this idea, even in the Greek, it's one who nurses. And so think of the loving care that is being expressed in this woman. This individual already who is beloved of Paul and of the kingdom and of our Lord, receive her in the Lord as it becomes saints. Well, here is a process that we are to use. We receive one another as it becomes saints, right? And so that gets into all these salutations. Greet one another, right? Verse 16, salute one another. And so there is a way that brethren are to act, isn't it? We have a process how we are to act in the house of the Lord. Receive her for at least three reasons. She was in Christ. She had been a helper to Paul. She had been like this nurse, this succorer to others. Now, why she was coming to Rome, I can't say that I necessarily know. but necessarily she was there for one reason or another. And Paul says, please receive her because she is beloved. And so then we're introduced to Priscilla and Aquila. Boy, we could talk all day about Priscilla and Aquila. What wonderful helpers that they were. You know, as you read about them, I see so much that could be preached about them. They loved each other. You know, every time that you see them in Scripture, seems like they're always together. And so what a great husband and wife team we see here. They had become one flesh. You know, that gets back to Genesis, or even that which Jesus quoted from Genesis in Matthew 19. They did personal work together. You know, Acts 18, as we see them working with Apollos, I guess it was. They believed that error needed to be corrected. And so as they waited for an opportune time, they went straight to Apollos. You know, they didn't call for Peter or Paul or somebody to come down, did they? They took care of business themselves, and so they loved the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and they wanted others to know about it more perfectly. They were willing to have services in their home. You know, we had an opportunity Monday night, Richard, to go down to one of our fellow overseers' houses. He opened up his home to us, and you know, what a beautiful thought. And you step that up a notch, and you look at these individuals who didn't have the big, you know, buildings that we have today necessarily. And so they opened their homes to worship. And so what a beautiful thought that they were willing to open their home, the church that meets there. And so there's a lot that we could say just about Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila, helpers in Christ. What a wonderful thing to see as we begin today. We've already been introduced to Phoebe, a helper, a servant. We have been introduced now to Priscilla and Aquila, who are workers, and he is thankful for them. And notice what he says in verse 4, who have laid their lives down. You know, we may not necessarily face that here on this side of eternity and our day and time, but we might. You know, there's others that have faced it on the other side of the planet, I guess, under extreme circumstances. He says, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Do you get the idea that Paul is a thankful individual?
Exactly.
You know, we have a lot of unthankfulness around us today. You know, you go to Walmart, you know, people run into your buggy, you know, they jump in front of you to get a parking place, or you know, kids don't hold the door for you. I mean, there's so much unthankfulness. You think about Jesus, where are the nine? You know, there's always been a problem with unthankfulness, and really, that's one thing that we could preach here, right? That thankfulness is something that's needed. Paul was a good example of one who was thankful.
Paul always mentioned the fact that he was thankful in almost every one of his epistles. Mm. He's going to bring out that fact that he's giving thanks for them, or he's giving thanks for something.
Mm-hmm.
And
he says that in his prayers, doesn't he? I thank God always for you, mentioning you in our prayers. And so I see right off the bat that not only is he introducing us to these individuals that helped him and were special to him and that were special to the kingdom and to the Lord, but he's thankful.
You know, I think of Aquila and Priscilla and the fact of the refreshing that they were able to offer mm-hmm. so many Christians, also mindful of Philemon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for Philemon and the church that met in his home
mm-hmm.
as well. And so we see these individuals who have some. That's what Paul deals with in 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
Not trusting in the riches, but trusting God. But then he tells him to instruct those who have this world's goods, who are rich with this, not mm-hmm. to trust in uncertainty of riches, but trust in the God who gives them, and be ready to help others, communicate, and
yep.
do those things. And so the you know, not everyone had the ability
mm-hmm.
to open up their homes, have the church meet in their homes. Mm-hmm. Philemon could, Aquila and Priscilla could. You know, even Lydia, as mm-hmm. Lydia presses them to come back to her home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that those things were benefited. It takes us all the way back to the day of Pentecost when they had all things in common and they were sharing those things together. So a great example in Priscilla and Aquila.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm mindful of verses like 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 16 where Paul, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And so there has been times in Paul's life when there weren't others around. But here, man, here's a whole list, you know, similar, you know, in the back of my mind to Hebrews 11, this wonderful list of individuals that have been helpful, that are appreciated, that stand as an example in some form or fashion. And so here is a wonderful exhortation, you know, for any of us. You know, if God allowed men and women to be commended today because of their faith, I wonder if my name would be in there.
Yeah.
You know, that there's that I saw a bulletin board years ago. If they were arresting people for faithfulness, would there be enough evidence to convict you, you know? and that's something that I see here. These individuals are commended for their faithfulness, for their work, for their efforts, you know, and especially what they meant to Paul. What a wonderful thing to be able to read this morning. The next portion of Scripture that we come to here is filled with names. Richard and I were just talking about this a minute ago. Some of them are kind of hard to pronounce, and some of them we don't hear about, you know, very often in Scripture. And so this one time that we come across them, you know, it's kind of something new to us. And so we'll read down from the middle of verse 5 to about verse 16 and all these wonderful salutations that Paul makes here.
And if any of you who are listening are about to have children, maybe you'll have some names that you can choose from here for baby names.
Right. Phlegon.
Yeah. There you go. So we'll see what we do.
All right.
Beginning there in the middle of verse 5, greet my brother Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us, and Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoner, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. And greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosus, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, and Phlegon, and Hermas, and Patrobas, and Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus, and Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them.
All right, so we have this wonderful set of salutations, and, you know, any of these would be a great epitaph for any of us. You know, greet this first idea of greet Epaphras, you know, the first fruits of Achaia, which seems to me even to point back, you know, to what was going on even to the early church. These first fruits that are mentioned here. The first fruits, as you see, I was looking for my reference here, 1 Corinthians 16, which we'll be studying in a few weeks. At verse 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know that the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so here is this first fruits being mentioned, some relationship there that is going on. And so this continually mentioned, and he refers to them on a regular basis. And so we are seeing a beloved relationship with Epaphroditus. Mary, it was pointed out to me, I didn't remember this on my own, but I don't know that there's any Mary in the Bible, especially in the New Testament that I refer to, that was spoken evil of. You know, you look at Luke 1:30, Mary found favor with God. Luke 10, Mary has chosen that good part. Mark 16, risen early on the first day of the week. Acts 12 and verse 12, again, we see Mary, the mother of John. They were together praying. We see a lot of good things mentioned about Mary's. And so here in verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. What a fabulous commendation. And so greet these individuals that were so very helpful to us, Andronicus and Junia. Here we have fellow kinsmen or countrymen. And so there's a relationship there, even physically. But notice this fellow prisoner aspect that is mentioned. You know, those that would go to the prison cell with you, alongside of you, fellow prisoners, those that have been imprisoned, certainly for doing the work of the Lord, fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. That's a major statement, though we may not, read it immediately. But notice of the 12 apostles, these individuals, Andronicus and Junia, they were known of the apostles. That's a statement right there to make. These individuals who would put their necks on the line, even like Priscilla and Aquila, who also were in Christ before me. Again, we could stop and talk about being in Christ, couldn't we? Talking about being washed, being added, Acts 2 and verse 47, where all those spiritual blessings are found. You know, Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:7, redemption is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, grace is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10, the list is, it continues to go on. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Notice these two individuals were in Christ before him. What does that mean? Immersed prior to him?
They were in Christ, Christians before him. I think it's interesting if we pay attention to our prepositions as we go through this, you know, the location there in Christ, but also what it says about Mary.
Yes.
Mary labored much, who labored much for us, or bestowed much labor on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that she was doing was for the benefit of Paul, almost. So, you know, you have the fellow laborer who's doing the same thing as far as Paul is going. You know, he's maybe preaching the gospel or doing those natures. You also have to have, if you will, support staff along the way.
Yeah.
And as we see with Mary and Martha and they're laboring. They're laboring by caring for. And I think we even see that they've done it for Paul, whatever their action had been.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's no small work that's not important.
Absolutely.
And getting the gospel out. This chapter right here is the idea of the Gospel Radio Network.
Mm.
You know, it is a network of individuals with strengths working together to get the gospel message out into the world.
Good point. You know, there's been such disparaging comments made over the years. Oh, women are left out of everything. Women don't get to lead. Women don't get to do it. Well, you know, here I'm saying that women are doing a lot. Women are you know, the backup. Women are the ones that have accomplished a lot. Who was there with Aquila? I mean, you know, for crying out loud, there is a lot of important women that have done a lot of important works. Did Jesus have a network of women that followed him? I believe he did, that gave of their substance to help him and all that he needed. And so here's just another quick example of those that bestowed much for the purpose of helping the work. Amplius, my beloved, there's that preposition you talked about again, in the Lord, verse 8. As far as I can tell, it's the only place that we see him mentioned. But notice, the one time he's mentioned, it's mentioned in the Lord. And that says it all, doesn't it? He is a Christian, he is a saint, he's redeemed, he's a member of the kingdom, and we are to greet him. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Stachys, my beloved. You know, here's something that is important for any of us to acknowledge. God knows what we're doing. And here, this Urbane, our helper in Christ, Stachys, my beloved, these ones that are mentioned already, if Paul knew what they were doing, I guarantee you that the Lord God knows what they're doing. Helpers, Stachys, loved, Apelles, approved. Anybody remember 2 Timothy 2:15? Study. Give diligence. To sow thyself what? Approved. Apelles was approved in Christ. I hope that'll be said of me in the judgment. He salutes the household of Aristobulus. Herodian, another countryman that's mentioned. You know, an acknowledgement here. Greet them that are in the household of Narcissus. Who are they? They are in the Lord. Over and again, these individuals, though we may not know them, have read of them before, Paul says they're in the Lord. They are helpers in the Lord. They labored much in the Lord, verse number 12. These individuals that are mentioned in verse 12, it seems that, again, these are women. Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis. It seems that we can understand through the language these are female names. It's been suggested that maybe Tryphena and Tryphosa were sisters. I don't know that. But notice there is a great relationship that is mentioned. The language changes a little bit with Persis, with the past tense, which labored much in the Lord. I don't know much about that other than maybe, you know, maybe she became disabled or something. I'm not sure. Can't comment on that. But notice these three women, again, that are commented. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Is that this idea of predestination, Richard? Is that where we're going with that? It doesn't support that at all. All Christians are chosen in the Lord, and nothing's different here. Remember Ephesians 1 and verse 4? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He knew that the gospel system of faith was going to be in place because of the blood of his son. Revelation 13:8. Slain from the foundation of the world. All that was known. And so he also mentions the mother, right? We have great women that are a support network. We have great ladies that we, you know, I think of a couple ladies that were here yesterday, Richard, helping, working, even behind the scenes, and may never have a public thank you stated. And they wouldn't want it, probably.
You know, we have no less than 10 ladies mentioned in these names.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, we have Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary. Mm-hmm. We have Junia. We have Tryphena and Tryphosis. We have Persis. We have Rufus's mother.
Mm-hmm.
We have Julia. We have Nerissa's sister. We have all of these who are mentioned in here who are workers for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, those who are going to argue, well, you know, the way that Paul talks about this, he speaks of it in a way that is referring to them laboring with the same intensity as the male counterparts. And that's exactly true.
Right.
But they also would then say, well, you know, they weren't just serving coffee and cakes or, you know, handing songbooks out or doing whatever. You know, they weren't just doing this menial task. They were doing, you know, the same. They were on the same level. Well, we are on the same level as far as worth and importance,
mm-hmm.
but we do have different roles that we fulfill.
That's right.
And you see that throughout the New Testament with, you know, how Paul addresses this to the church in Corinth,
mm-hmm.
you know, when these roles that we fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And as the, you know, the church is made up of different members, and one member is not important, more important than the other member, but every member doesn't have the same function.
Mm-hmm.
They are exercising the roles that God has given them and using them to the glory of God throughout here.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go through, we think about, you know, how many names did you say you thought you counted up for us?
I think it was like 24 or 26.
So 24, 26, you know, over a third of them
mm-hmm.
are ladies.
Ladies. That speaks for itself.
Right.
You know, end of subject. You know, women are absolutely important. And verse 15, these individuals that are mentioned there, no real commendation, you know, specific commendations, but notice they're saints. And again, end of story. That says it. They are sanctified. They are redeemed. They are saints. They're saved. They're Christians. All those things apply. And so salute one another with this holy greeting. The churches of Christ salute you. I think about signs I've seen in days gone by, you know, something like the businesses of Mount Vernon welcome you. Well, that's a multiplicity of businesses, right? But they are being acknowledged as one in a community. We are receiving you. We are welcoming you. And so when we see this churches of Christ in verse 16, what is that? That is a multiplicity of the one, right? That's the church in Asia. That's the church in Galatia. That's the, you know, all these churches that are mentioned, those seven and Revelation 2 and 3, right? The churches of Christ. There is an ownership there. The churches, the called out of Christ, greet you. And so what a beautiful thing to see here. All of these wonderful salutations and these greetings and the things that are mentioned of them, the labor that they bestowed, the work that they've done, and how they are so well beloved of Paul.
And, you know, it keeps us in mind as well that as he's writing this, you know, there is this greeting from brethren from all around,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that helps us understand even this churches of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the plurality of churches here, it's not, you know, man-made institutions.
Right.
But it is the fact that the congregations, we could just say the congregations, or the body of Christ that it meets in these different locations, mm-hmm. or, you know, that's why people at times get confused and they think when we're speaking to them about the Church of Christ, that they're thinking we're trying to say that, well, this denomination is better than your denomination. But that's not what we're saying.
Right.
You know, denomination is division.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ did not want division. That's what a denominator does, is divides.
Mm-hmm.
And so one denomination is not any better than any other denomination because that's not what Jesus wanted. He didn't want division. He wanted unity. And the unity that we're speaking of is the unity that can only be found in Christ, mm-hmm. the church that Christ died for. That's why you'll see the sign and it says the Church of Christ meets here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the church that Christ died for. And that's what he's speaking of here when he says the churches. He's speaking of the church that's in Centuria, or the churches that are in Achaia, or the churches that are in Corinth, or the church that is meeting in Rome,
mm-hmm.
you know, as he salutes them, the church that is in Rome.
Right. If you get off a greyhound in the first century, you're going to find either an idolatrous temple like Diana, or you're going to find a Jewish synagogue, or you're going to find the Church of Christ. And that's it. That's the end of it. And so he's speaking to those that are in Christ. That negates the Jewish synagogue. That negates the idolatrous temple. And it leaves but the one, that which was purchased by his blood, Acts 20, verse 28.
You know, if we people would like to say, well, you know, then does that mean because you're not a denomination, does that mean you're non-denominational? And we're not non-denominational.
Right.
What we're striving for is to be the church that is, you read about in the New Testament, which is pre-denominational.
That's it.
Before man messed everything up with his own ideas and with his own doctrines that he brings in, mm-hmm. which caused the divisions, which denominated it, and made these denominations. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the beginning. And if we will do what they did, then we will be what they were, and all they were Christians.
That's it.
No hyphenated Christian. They were the church of Christ, the church that Christ died for and that he purchased with his own blood.
That's right. That'll preach all day, brother. We got 20 minutes left. Let's move forward to verses 17 through 20.
Now I urge you, brethren, to note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Now, right off the bat, Rich, as you was reading right there in verse number 17, it seems apparent to me that doctrine is important. Immediately notice those that cause divisions contrary to the doctrine. A few references that I would point out for you out there that are taking notes this morning. In 2 John 9, in verses 9 and 10, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Notice the doctrine, not a doctrine, some doctrine, but the doctrine. There is but one, this doctrine, verse 10. Same as that in Acts 2 and verse 42, the apostles' doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3, sound doctrine. Titus 1 and verse 9, sound doctrine. Titus 2 and verse 1, sound doctrine. Your friends, there's not but one doctrine that saves mankind. And if someone preaches anything other than the doctrine, note that man, mark that man. The idea of looking upon, pointing out. You know, the same idea is seen in Philippians 3:17. We can mark a man for good and follow his good example. But notice initially, the point that seems favorable to me is that doctrine is important. Doctrine, which saves. Remember, as we began this work in verse number 16 of chapter 1 of Romans, it is the gospel that is the power of God to save. Tomorrow, Lord willing, Chris will have the opportunity to comment on 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, and he's going to be talking about the doctrine. Speak the same thing. Have no divisions. Be perfectly joined in mind and judgment. You see, it is the case that God never changes. If you look back in Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16 through about verse 19, there's seven things that the Lord despises. And one of those is those individuals that sow discord. And so mark those that the Lord dislikes. And we dislike the same thing that the Lord dislikes, and that is division. You know, we could get into a long discussion about church discipline here, couldn't we? And talking about that which has to be done in order to save men's souls. You know, we have to understand that marking is not something that's done behind closed doors. It's something that has to be done publicly. How would the rest of the congregation know who was causing discord unless it was announced? And several times throughout Scripture, we see Paul and others calling names. Alexander, Hymenaeus, you know, Diotrephes, all these individuals that cause problems, they need to be marked.
That idea of marking, you know, is brought up in 2 Thessalonians as well, where he says, beginning there in verse number 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, here's the authority by which it's to be done, command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the traditions which you have received of us, for you yourselves know that you ought to follow us.
Hmm.
But then if we drop down to verses 14 and 15, he said, and if any man does not obey our word by this epistle, note that man. So even the one who wasn't going to do what is commanded here of withdrawing from this one who's walking disorderly, now he says, if any man does not obey the word of our epistle, note that man. Mark that man. That's that idea of marking the one who's causing divisions.
Yes, sir.
And have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. But here's the kicker. Yet not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
It's hard sometimes, isn't it?
But we do, and that's what he talks about. And that's it, what is difficult is even in the context here is, you know, he's telling us to note the ones who's teaching doctrine that's contrary, and he tells us that they're not serving the Lord, but they're serving their own belly. But what are they doing? They're smooth and flattering individuals. People love to have it that way.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you know, the tickling the itching ears, they will not endure sound doctrine that Paul spoke about in 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Right.
And sometimes it's not what people teach, it's what people don't teach.
There you go.
You know, they're teaching the smooth things.
Uh-oh, is that Isaiah 30?
That's it. You know, they're teaching the smooth things that people that are easy to swallow for folks,
yeah.
And they're staying away from doctrine that is helpful for people.
Mm.
And when you have, wolves in sheep's clothing like that, at times it's difficult to really point them out and mark them as we're commanded to do, because the people are like, well, what are they teaching that's wrong? Well, I don't have any, there's nothing that I can point to that they've taught error on any subject, but they're going to avoid marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
Mm.
They're going to avoid what the Bible teaches on a whole host of social sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we come into difficulties with it.
Absolutely. Teach the whole gospel truth. And we talked about all these wonderful admonitions. Notice in verse 19, your obedience has come abroad unto all. Wow. That's, you know, I hope that that, you know, with all my heart, that's exactly what is being said of heaven about Mount Vernon right now. Your obedience has come abroad unto all. And so Paul just is beaming with, I can just see a smile on his face. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. And so he says, continue to be wise. Continue in those things. And the God of peace, that's where peace begins. It begins with God. It ends with God. Everything starts and ends. The Alpha and Omega, everything begins with God. And so the peace of God shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This goes back certainly to Genesis chapter 3. You know, there's that reference there that is made. But some have written that maybe this looks forward to that great destruction that was of A.D. 70. There's so many things that we could discuss right here, but notice that God is in control. That, you know, no matter what we may speculate on verse 20 or say, God's in control. And so the Lord Jesus be with you, the same thing that he left with us in Matthew 28 and verse number 20.
So I think it's interesting. He says, I want you to know what is good and simple concerning evil. God's going to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's good and it's simple.
Yeah.
And that's the whole message of the book of Revelation. You know,
that's it.
We've already won. and even here with these brethren in verse number 19, your obedience has become known to all. It's what Paul told the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 3 and 2. Your are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men.
Oh, yeah.
People are seeing. Christians are under a microscope always.
Yep.
And what are people observing in you? Mm. Well, here they were observing their obedience, their faithfulness.
Powerful sermon. Boy, oh boy. Well, let's look at verses 21 through 24 as we're about to run out of time and look at some more of these wonderful names.
Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sospitator, that's not right, my countrymen, greet you, and Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greet you, and Quartus, my brother. What are we going through?
24.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and all men. Amen.
Amen. And so we have some more wonderful admonitions here. Gaius, Tertius. Some of these are just, they're hard to pronounce, absolutely. Fellow worker, what a wonderful thing that could be said of any of us. Certainly we see that in Timothy. This idea of countrymen is brought up again. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church. Gaius salutes you. Erastus, you know, the treasurer, he salutes you. And over and again, we have these wonderful admonitions. As we mentioned, some 25 or 26 names all down here that are mentioned in the close of this letter. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Isn't that what we all need? You know, God's grace is a wonderful thing. It's something that we could never earn or repay. It's something that we don't deserve. But certainly we're glad that he has bestowed us this great grace. In verse 25 through 27, then we have the ending of this letter.
Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world.
Excuse me.
Since the world began. But now has been made man.
Man, I got caught up in there. So anyway, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, the obedience of faith to God, the only wise God. And so we have this powerful admonition in verse 25, sterizo, this establishment. The Greek word that insists on set fast, confirm, strengthen. And I thought about the idea of being set in concrete. You know, when we set a post for a building, we lay a foundation, we set that post, and the idea is that it not be moved. And so here is the power of God's word, the preaching of Jesus Christ, that has the power to save you and set you fast, right? It's the power of God. Again, Romans 1. And verse number 16, and notice, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of everlasting God. Notice that this manifestation is an answer of the promises of God. God keeps his promises, right? And that should be comforting in and of itself. And so when Jesus says, I'm with you until the end, you better believe that he's going to keep his promise. He said to teach all nations, right? Teach everybody, right? The grace of God has been made known to all men. In Acts chapter 10, we find out in verse 34 and 35 that God is no respecter of persons, right? And by the time you get to Colossians 1 and verse 23, we find out that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. And so we have this opportunity to preach the gospel, that which has been made manifest, that which was recorded by apostolic pen, that which has been recorded by this one working, this one that was working with Paul here, the one that certainly was even a penman, one that has helped him along the way, and notice the great admonition. Salute all of these brethren. Salute as it is appropriate in the Lord. The grace of God be with you, and the power of Jesus Christ and obedience to it is absolutely important. And then he finishes, to God, the only wise God. And so if indeed God is said to be wise, and he is, then guess what? Such is the case, then it is a wise move to save both Jews and Gentiles in one body. You see, there's a lot that could be said about the wisdom of God. We don't necessarily always understand it, right? We don't understand sometimes some of the things that God has done, you know, when we're certainly undeserving. But, friends, be thankful for his son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful chapter this has been. Sorry that we stumbled over some of these names. You know, it's a hard thing to try to read some of these out loud. It's a tough chapter to read aloud, but certainly we have gotten through it. And so we hope that what we've studied today has been a benefit to you as it has been a benefit to us. And so we salute you out there on the Gospel Radio Network, that our fellow workers, fellow servants, beloved of the Lord, those that are in Christ Jesus, where all spiritual blessings are found. And we thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Love each one of you. And we look forward to beginning the book of 1 Corinthians tomorrow with our brother Chris McQuillier, if the Lord wills. Thank you for your time. We love you all. Have a wonderful day in Christ.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in his Word, let's remember his words in Luke 6:46, when he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.